And our Old Testament lesson comes to us from the prophecy of Isaiah today. It's Isaiah chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 10. You've already heard some of it in our liturgy for lighting the Advent wreath this morning. So listen to what the prophet is saying to us on the second Sunday of Advent. Isaiah says, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling will be glorious." These words from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, along with what we read from Matthew, are for us this day the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, friends, as we are led into the word to be led out of it, as we approach the table of grace this day, may each of us hear something that stirs our hearts and souls, that we might be the men and women, the very church that God is calling us to be. Amen. So I'm a child of the 1970s, and when I was a young boy, there were lots of songs about peace on the radio or on the old LP record player that my parents kept in the den. "All We Are Saying Is Give Peace a Chance" by John Lennon. "How About War? Ooh, Good God, What Is It Good For?" "Absolutely Nothing" by Edwin Starr. Or what I think was probably one of my parents' favorite songs, because I think he was one of their favorite singers, "Father, Father, We Don't Need to Escalate. War is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. Oh, What's Going On?" I'm not going to sing that because I'm not Marvin Gaye. There was only one of him. I also grew up in church with lots of songs and hymns about peace. "I've Got Peace Like a River," "The Beautiful Make Me a Channel of Your Peace," or the one that I love the most, "Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin with Me." In church, I heard the ministers and the leaders each week bless us with words like, "May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, go with you." And I said, "Peace be with you," as I passed the peace to adults and children sitting all around me. We called Jesus the Prince of Peace in church then, as we do now, because he is and he was and he always shall be. And we say that most especially around this time of year as Christmas approaches. Years later, I took studying the scripture to heart, and I discovered that the promise of peace is written all across the pages of the Bible. In the New Testament, in John chapter 20, Jesus blesses the disciples when he tells them, "Peace be with you," repeatedly. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaches us, "Blessed are the peacemakers." The priest Zechariah in Luke chapter 1 sings a prophecy about Jesus, that Jesus will be the one who shows us the way of peace. And in Luke chapter 2, just as the shepherds are told about the birth of Jesus, the multitudes of the angels sing the first Christmas hymn from the footsteps of heaven itself, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors. Gloria in excelsis Deo." Indeed, peace is all over the New Testament. And of course, in the Old Testament, peace is also a near constant. Nowhere is it more prominent and more glorious than in the prophetic oracles of Isaiah. And the text today on this second Sunday of Advent from Isaiah 11 is like exhibit one, the first argument that you would make saying that Isaiah came to declare the reign of peace. Peace is possible according to Isaiah. Peace is promised by his reckoning. You see, Isaiah sees a day when enemies are made friends, when combatants become compatriots. Isaiah says that if we follow the Messiah, aligning our lives with his, that the unexpected can become the hoped for, the expected become the norm. Christian people, even when there is evidence to the contrary, should be people who work for, pray for, and hope for peace without fail. By Isaiah's reckoning, God's peace will be the great reversal and will reverse the way things normally are. The Messiah shall come, he tells us, and make a world where things that we don't expect to happen, happen. Wolves lying down with lambs, leopards lying down with goats, calves and lions, all led by a little child. The people will not hurt or destroy anymore, Isaiah says, for the earth shall be as full of the knowledge as the Lord, as the water covers the sea. People will not hurt or destroy, because the earth will be as full as the knowledge of the Lord, of the knowledge of the Lord. We'll finally know who God is and what it is we're supposed to be. So much so, it'll be like the waters that cover the sea. Friends, there's a lot of water in the sea. It's a biblical metaphor and a powerful one at that. A powerful example of the kind of peace that God has promised. In this life or in the next life, whenever we find God, wherever we find God, there will be peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that surpasses our expectations. Peace which overcomes all human experience of conflict and division. On this second Sunday of Advent, I would share that I think the primary thing that brings us spiritual comfort is a sense of peace and well-being. Starts with peace with God. Also includes peace with ourselves. Peace with our families and neighbors. Peace among nations, races, and other people. God's promise of peace, you see, is neither idle nor passive. It is kinetic. And it is active, and it is missing from our lives. We are often at a state of unease. I mean, what would life be without it? What would our lives be if we had no peace? We are never at ease, because there's something always gnawing at us, as though we are fighting some global, historical, mental, or emotional battle that we can't quite get settled. When we don't have peace, we feel uncomfortable in our own skin because the stress of conflict is sapping our resources with its relentless energy. Another thing about peace is that sometimes it's hard to make. Sometimes to make peace, you have to stand up to whatever is bullying us. I mean, to stop a bully, you have to have some courage and strength, whether that's a historical bully, a social bully, an actual personal bully, or something on the inside that is bullying us, something inside that is pushing us around. Think of John the Baptist. He had come to teach baptism as a means of reconciliation with God and to prepare the world for the advent of the Messiah. But to declare that peace, John had to knock a few things down along the way. I mean, he was out there in the wilderness selling it, but not everybody was buying it. I once said this, let's admit that peace, like all gifts, sometimes to make the peace, like all gifts and promises of God, needs a few champions. It needs a mouthpiece. It needs a megaphone. Sometimes to make peace, we have to sound the sirens and ruffle some feathers. And that's certainly what John the Baptist did and what he was doing. Yes, he made friends. Yes, he made converts. But he also ruffled those feathers. And he stood strong against those who would try to bully him into being silent. He reminds us of the promise of Isaiah as he points the way to the first arrival of Jesus Christ and even suggests the wonder of Christ's second coming. In a brilliant sermon I read this week, Mount Methodist pastor Kenneth Carter, preaching from Isaiah, said this, quote, "Peace is a right relationship with God, and a right relationship with God places us in a right relationship with each other. The very absence of peace, the very absence of peace, making all things right has to do with the patience of God, allowing us to use our freedom in God's service, allowing us to use our abundance in God's blessing, allowing us to be followers of Jesus. For followers of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, something is already growing in us, a hunger and a thirst for a new world. We wait," he said, "with a sense of promise." Waiting with a sense of promise, that's a working definition of Advent itself. And so it strikes me that Advent is a perfect time to think about peace and to dedicate ourselves to finding peace, to making peace, and to sharing peace. As we look towards Christmas, a great activity for all people of faith to do might be to look daily and to pray deeply about the places of conflict in our lives. Advent is a perfect time to pray about these conflicts, a perfect time to claim God's signs of promise and to ask God's help to help us make a little peace in a time which is desperate for less of the noise of conflict and more of the stillness of peace. Perhaps you find yourself today needing to make peace with God. Maybe because a prayer wasn't answered the way you thought it would be, or maybe because a prayer wasn't answered in time. Maybe you followed a sign and you were led to a dead end and you wonder why God would lead you there. Maybe you need to make peace with God. And the arrival of the Messiah is the root from which the fruit of peace can grow and nourish us. Advent really is the perfect time to make this peace. And once we have peace with God, we can work for peace with others. We can know how to pray and to work for peace in the world. Or maybe you and God are doing just fine, and this is the season to make peace. To make peace with that family member or that friend who has too long been estranged. Maybe between now and Christmas, that's the best opportunity to pray for the things that are bigger than any of us can control, an end to all the shootings in the streets of America, an end to the war in Ukraine, an end to the scourge of terrorism. There is a great need for peace in our homes and in our country and here on the earth. See, regardless of how daunting the challenge of peace may be, Christian people believe and hope and they trust in the promise of peace. From the words of Isaiah to the example of Jesus, we hold on to the promise of peace as tightly as we can, like someone who has been hungry far too long, finally finding a meal. We wait for peace, we pray for peace, and we work for peace, looking towards the day when we say with the angels, "Peace on earth for those who long for the peace that passes all understanding." In the name of God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, we offer these things. Amen. As you go from this place, may that peace of Christ, which does pass all understanding, be at your front and your rear. May it surround you this week and the week to come, and may we all remember that sometimes in order to find peace, we have to be willing to risk a little bit to make some ourselves. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of Almighty God be with all of you until we meet again. Amen.